for our second reading to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we continue then this analogy, this extended metaphor of Christ and his church. So I have the first section of this chapter, verses 1 through 5. In this first section, then, we have a seamed departure of the bridegroom from the bride. And we have her lying upon her bed. Now, this is interesting, and I think that there are several things to be gleaned from this. We're going to read about this a little bit later, aren't we? A little bit later in chapter 5, there's going to be the same kind of situation at the beginning, except it's not going to be the bride seeking for the husband. It's going to be the husband seeking for the bride and the bride on her bed. But we'll wait until we get there next week, Lord willing. What we see here is she is lying on her bed and she recognizes that she is without her beloved. Her beloved seems to have withdrawn himself. She's on her bed. What does that mean? Well, I think metaphorically speaking, what we're talking about here is she is in some kind of ease or repose. We might say that analogically or according to the law of parables, that we might perceive this to be that she is in a time of ease, in a time of rest, in a time of what appears to be some kind of outward ease. But in the midst of that, she recognizes that it is an ease that is apart from her husband. And there's really no ease at all to that for her. Historically, we might say that there have been times where the church, here pictured by the bride of Christ, or by the bride of Solomon, has been at ease, has been at leisure, well furnished. She's pulled up her feet in the bed. She's put on her jammies. She's very comfortable and alone. she has departed, or her beloved has departed from her. And what is to be done in such a case? What does the bride say here? In chapter 5, and we do need to make this contrast, when her beloved knocks, she says a few things, right? She says, well, I've taken off my coat. I've washed my feet and pulled them up into the bed. How can I soil them again? Notice that is not her attitude here. Here she is lying on her bed alone, and she recognizes she's deprived of her beloved. She is at her ease, and yet she is at unrest. She's at unrest because she desires, she lacks the fellowship of her beloved. And so what will she do in a case like that? Will she remain at her ease? Will she remain at her leisure? Will she remain at rest? No. No, not here in chapter 3. Where is him whom my soul loveth? And so what does she do? She is undaunted by any earthly ease or leisure. Away she goes. Away she goes to find him whom her soul loveth. Is that not what love does? Is that not what communion with Christ is about? Is it not leaving earthly ease? Is it not leaving those tenets of earthly leisure, the accolades and glory of men, the things of this world, those things that people spend their entire lives amassing to themselves in order to make themselves comfortable? What does the apostle say in the book we're reading before this one, in Hebrews, in chapter 13? What does he say? Let us, what? Go to him. Go to Christ outside the gate, for we have here no continuing city. Rather, we seek one to come where Christ is. Let us go forth to him. This is the message, I think, of the opening portion of this chapter. Let us go forth to him whom our soul loveth. Where we find that his presence is not full like it was before, where we're not meditating upon him, where our thoughts are not taken with him, where we don't have that communion that we would desire, let us go forth to him. Let us not become comfortable in our ease. Let us go forth to him. So then, secondly, what shall we do? We shall seek him. We shall seek him. And how is it that the bride now is seen to seek after her bridegroom, him whom her soul loveth? The first thing she does is she asks the watchman. Well, I won't be the first one nor the last to say that metaphorically in this passage, we are seeking the ministry, the ministers of the word, to conduct us to our beloved. It is through the ordinary means of grace, through the preaching of the word, through the ministry of the word. And the Lord has put that in the hands of ministers, watchmen who will watch over the city. Why are they styled watchmen here? Because there are others who would keep the bride from the bridegroom. They must watch on her behalf and make sure that she is conducted freely to the bridegroom. And she says, it was but a little while, just a little bit, just a little space of time after I left them that I found my bridegroom. Notice that the watchmen were found near to Christ. Oh, ministers of the gospel and those who aspire to the ministry, make sure you're near to Christ. You must be, because you have a bride to conduct to a bridegroom. And so you must not be far away from him. So this is a strong encouragement to those who are in the ministry or those who aspire to the ministry, that they themselves must be but a little space from Christ, such that when the church comes and seeks the law of God, the word of God, at the mouth of a minister, they may find Christ standing near thereby. And then she says what? Oh, I found him whom my soul loveth. And I held him, and I would not let him go. Oh, that there were such a heart in the professing church to hold to Christ like that. I would not let him go. That his word would be sweet to us. That the smell of his garments would be that to which we are attracted. Such that we would not let him go. What a wonderful picture of the desire of the Christian for their Savior. I would not let him go until he brought me into the house of his mother. Is that right? His mother or my mother? Until I brought him into the house of my mother, I think is what it says, right? Yes. Till I had brought him into my mother's house. And I think Durham has it right here. It is a little bit of a difficult passage. But I think what the bride is speaking of here, her mother, we should consider to be the church itself. I think that's the metaphor that we're intended to understand here. Such that we, in having this close communion with Christ, have that with others who share that same profession within the confines, within the context of the covenant community, within our mother's house, if you will. I think Durham and Gill both have it right when they go down that road. So we have then, in that first section, verses 1 through 5, this separation, this desire on the part of the bride, this coming to the watchman of the city, the conducting of the watchman, and Christ standing nearby, and then that fullness of communion with all of the saints of God with Christ. Verse 6 then, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Well, who is it indeed? That is certainly the question. There are great divisions now in commentators here. The bride ends the former section by saying, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And I think the best understanding there is that it is those daughters of Jerusalem that look now at the bride and say, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Who is this? Who is this church? Who is this bride? And then notice the answer of the bride. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, the valiant of Israel. Notice what the bride does. The bride, in her answering to the daughters of Jerusalem, she turns her attention to her husband. Well, that we understand very clearly, don't we? The bride says, the bride is going to answer the question about who she is by saying who her husband is. Because she is identified by him. Her worth, her glory, her nobility, all of it is bound up in who her husband is. Behold his bed. Behold the place of our communion, she says. And it is surrounded by 60 valiant ones. Again, we have the watchmen being pictured here. Those who would protect the communion of Christ and his bride. King Solomon himself made a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Not only are those watchmen expert in war, but King Solomon has his own chariot. Notice they have swords upon their side, but he has all the machinery of war. He goes forth as that conquering husband to protect, nourish, and commune with his wife. And so then Solomon has that machinery of war, and it is paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. He does battle for her. So then, notice, we round out or we expand out the understanding, it's paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And then notice verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. So we have the same thing. This chapter ends where it began, with the bride going forth to meet and to glory in her husband. Thus ends the reading then of Song of Solomon chapter 3. Let's stand.